Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Living with the Knobs, baby face, Joel Solomon, producing this mess, and joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Bri, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Was that a cat or a child screaming in the background? I don't know. I'm okay.
Something over. Something over at Harry's. Something's going on there.
Oh, Harry. All right, Harry. Update us on
he had a kid.
Can't ever stay home. And you're doing very important things on the road. What's going on?
Yeah. After this, me and Ken will be on the road. We're heading to Palm Springs for like, I guess, 5-6 days.
Wow. And you say it with confidence, as if any of it makes sense. But all right, you're good. You're going to Palm Springs.
Come on down.
You're a married man, and then there's another guy, and you're going, but okay. Yeah. Anyway, hopefully during the
And then
long
Michigan
drive,
next week, too. Michigan next week.
Well, that makes sense. In your travels, maybe you can go on extrapoints.com/arcade. Pick winners. We have our prop quiz. We have our pick'em contest. $100 up for grabs if you do well in the pick'em, and then that prop quiz, get that elusive gold cap. It's tough. I looked this week. It's always tough, but brother Bri, to pick that prop quiz. My God, right?
Oh yeah. Every time I look at these now, I'm like, oh, I'm not winning this one.
There's fantasy implications. There's this: who will score the fewest points? Which favorite will be? Will lose by the most? It's a lot of good stuff. But anyway, we're gonna go over the Thursday night game. Then we'll hit you back tonight. We're gonna go over 9 between college and pro games, and we're gonna go not happy with the Mets. This is not how I wanted it, Parlay Kid. We'll get into it deeper, but I did not want to play the Padres. And it's not a great matchup, despite what Caesar says. They have us as the heftiest favorite out of all. But let's get into football right now. I want to talk about this protester protesting animal rights, we found out. This is one of those things where you don't know. You kind of know, but you really don't even know. So how effective is the protesting if you don't even know what the cause is? But anyway, he's got the pink smoke coming out Monday night. It was Rams, 49ers, and then Bobby Wagner just levels this guy. And now Wagner's being charged with a brutal assault. Parlay Kid, you are pro Bobby Wagner. I could see it on your face. You think this guy should get nothing.
Yeah, in some countries, you'd probably get shot if you ran onto a field, right? So,
right.
Here, taking a hit. Look, when you do that, this has been fair game for years now, Sal, right? We've seen athletes do this before and lay people out. They don't know what you're doing there. Mm-hmm. You have no right to be on the field. You deserve what you get. I mean, I know we have had people on this podcast who have run onto fields before, and it's okay. Look, I mean, if you want to do it, do it. I think it would be hysterical if Harry ever did it, but... You got to be prepared for the consequences, like anything else. Sal, right?
Is this going to be the first time, though? I feel like this guy is going to get money. And I know you say through history this has happened, and Ditka did it, and we've seen guys do it. And like, I feel like they're going to settle. I think they're going to give this guy money.
Well, that's a mistake. That's a mistake, because then what's going to prevent everybody else from coming down on the field? You can't settle in this case.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, what's Harry to go on the field? We set it up. He needs, what, $5,000? But...
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see one more of those. Well, hopefully this inspires one more.
I don't mind seeing it. I really don't. I think it sometimes it does add some
levity to the game.
They normally don't. You have to be there to see it in a lot of cases. But
or some fans
you can't
angle
get
on
upset
Twitter.
Yeah. Then when something happens to you. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Just stop with that crap.
The hierarchy, brother Bri, is it's fun to see a security guard tackle him. Great. A player, even better. Another fan tackling him would be interesting. But then it's I wish they had odds on this. Does Caesars not have odds on fans coming on the field getting tackled?
I mean, what's the thing? I mean, again, if you go on the field, you know you're getting tackled, right? At some point, you have to, right? I mean, a security guard, somebody's hitting you.
Yeah.
I guess it's the level of force, but geez, come on.
That's, yeah, I was saying, I mean, best case scenario for you physically is you get your message out there and then the security guard kind of just bear hugs you and like leads you off. But babyface Joel Solomon has a strong idea. I'm going to give him an opportunity here to explain. This is, you know, because there's no more Pro Bowl. The Manning brothers are taking over the skills competition. Babyface, what's your idea
for
the
skills competition?
All right. Well, the Pro Bowl needs ideas, and they want fan involvement. So this only makes sense that maybe there's 10 fans, 10 lucky fans, celebrity fans, maybe Cousin Sal's involved, and they each get a 10-yard head start. And then we see defensive players, they're timed the quickest to bring them down, much like, I guess, the rodeo. And it's
I like it.
Here's what I'll add to it. I do like it. First of all, this could open it up for people like Harry. Like Harry could be one of the fans. Maybe you don't have to do it actually during a game because it's an event. We get you out there. A, B, I think you have X players. I think James Harrison should be in this every year until he's like 76 years old or something. I know he would want to be, but you get X players who have an axe to grind kind of thing. What do you think, Parley Kid? I like this idea.
Well, Harrison hit you once, right, Sal?
He did. I mean, yeah.
He literally hit a real tackle.
He never tried it again, did he? Right? I'm not keeping score, but I didn't see him ever come my way after that. But anyway, yeah, no, James. He actually went after a fan in the game, didn't he?
Is that true?
He took it down. Yeah.
He'd be one of the last guys I'd want to be hit by. That is for sure. I think Joel's idea is brilliant. Should definitely move up the chain very quickly in terms of ideas through the Mannings. Definitely.
I like it. Brian Cox, Joey Porter, Babyface is feeding the names. And maybe the fans are just annoying people in general. Like the, I know it's been a few years, but like the bagel boss guy. Boss Bagel, what they call him? Like that guy starts yelling. Like people you want to see leveled. One of the Paul brothers or something. Do it that way. All right, let's get to the game itself. Denver 3-42 favored over the Colts. I liked it better at 3.5.
Yeah,
I don't like. I'm going to buy it up to 3.5 because I saved some money and I'm going to buy it to 3.5. It's probably -120. No Javonte Williams for the rest of the year for Denver. No Taylor, which is why it clicked to 3.5. But now back down to 3, so the sharp money is gone. No Jonathan Taylor. Randy Gregory out too. Russell Wilson's going to have to throw the ball because the Colts defense ranks second versus the run, and there's no Javonte Williams anyway, so don't look for a big output from Gordon. I don't know. There's not much to love about this game. It's probably going to be under. I'm not taking Hackett as a favorite, and these two teams have been junk, I think, through the first month. But Indianapolis 11-5 against the spread in their last 16 road games. I'll take the 3.5. Yeah, I'm buying it. I think it's like a 19-16 final and the under. Harry, you have the under also.
I'll take that score, Sal. Yeah, I don't love this game either at all. Obviously, losing Taylor is huge in terms of the total. So I'm going to go under like I did on Monday night. I'm going to go under 42. But even with him, the Colts haven't scored more than 20 points all season in a game. Indy's averaging just 14 points per game. Denver just 30th in the league in points. I think everything points to the under here. Denver's defense, fifth best in points allowed and passing yards against. Just think this is a grinded out type of game. I think once it gets close to the red zone, we're going to see field goals, not touchdowns. I'm going to go under 42.
All right. You know, I had that the under is 6-2 in the Broncos' last 8 home games. Babyface, is this true? That I thought we'd hear about this. 9-0 in the Colts' last 9 games. Is that right?
That's
making
right.
that up.
I promise. Yeah.
Well, definitely this year.
There you go. So. Yeah. Every game on the Bri, you like the under also.
Yeah, I like the under, right? You said it's killing it. It's 9. The unders are 9-4 so far in these primetime night games. The Colts offense is pretty much anemic. And without Taylor, they're going to have a hard time, I think, throwing the ball. I think they're going to have a hard time throwing the ball against the Broncos. And on the other hand, Colts have been solid defensively. I don't see, it's funny, I don't see Russell going crazy in this one. Plus, he's banged up. And I was trying to figure out, you know, I made the mistake on Monday night taking the over in that Rams 49ers. There's no way I would ever
play. I made a lot of mistakes too.
I know. There's no way I would ever play the over in this game. There's just no way when you look at these two teams and the stats, even what Joel was just saying, it just everything screams under. I'm actually surprised it's not like 38.5 or something, this number.
Yeah. Paulie, kid, why are we trying to pick a winner here? We should just go under with these guys and root for
that makes sense.
No
but we got to have a little diversity here in terms of our picks. So I'm just keeping it at 3. I'll ride with that. Came down. I don't love it, like you're saying, Sal. Mm-hmm. I wish this was at 3.5. I'd feel a lot better. But I'll keep it at the 3.
You know, I'll lend you the money. We'll buy it a half a point. We got to pay me back, though, Paulie.
No, I know. No? I don't want to owe anybody money. It's fine. It's totally good. Unlike Harry, who owes probably you thousands and thousands of dollars. So,
more than that. Come on.
Money. Give me some credit.
That's college, Harry. That's college me.
But, oh, my gosh. I think the loss of Randy Gregory is going to hurt Denver more than we think it's going to in this game. And he's been tremendous so far for the Broncos. Hurts me to say that because he was a former Cowboy that we kind of let walk. But I think that's going to hurt them. We know that these games tend to be lowest scoring too. So I on a Thursday night, I get what you guys are saying, but because it's going to be low scoring, I do think the Colts keep this close. I just don't think either team is going to score enough to run away from somebody. I do think that, like Brother Brian saying, a lot of my props are around the short passing game for the Colts. I think that's what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. The Colts defense is still good enough, like you're saying, so they're going to stop the run. They're going to force Russell to pass. Which is fine for Russell, but I just don't think this game ever gets out of hand either way. I think it's going to be a rather boring game, blah type of game. Hopefully it's not, because when you have money on it, it's never blah, right? So that's what we're going to be doing here. This will make it exciting for us. Let's put a bunch of bets. But yeah, if I were, this wouldn't be my number one bet to make today, is taking the Colts in the 3. But that's what I'm riding here with Sal.
Yeah, first of all, we're going to be on Spotify Live in the late third, all fourth quarter, making as many bets as we can, probably sitting through a miserable, boring ending, I would guess. Here's what bums me out. I wasn't right about a lot of things. I kind of thought this Broncos team would underachieve. But they get the full boat, 5 primetime games. This is their third primetime game in barely 5 weeks.
How is that possible?
And Harry... And then they get another one October. They get one next Monday. Oh,
is
my
Wilson
God.
That much of a draw? Like Russell Wilson? That people are sick of Russell Wilson.
They're going to have 4 primetime games in 5 weeks.
Yeah, I thought, Darren, I kind of think that's what it was, that Russell Wilson going to Denver, especially, you know, with the schedule makers making the Seattle game, game one. That made a lot of sense. But bang, the San Francisco and then this game too. That's a lot in riding with Denver where they don't score that much.
October 17th at the Chargers. That's Monday night. That's next Monday night. Then December 11th, then we get a little break from them. Finally,
we do get a couple months.
I think we did say a few weeks ago, the AFC West, like every one of those games are going to be great. And probably has turned out not to be the case.
Maybe we weren't right about that. Another thing we weren't right about. Hey, I love this prop. I love it. McManus over 1.5 field goals for Denver. Yeah. I'm so working backwards from my score. I think they lose 19-16, so that's 3 field goal. 3 of the first 4 games, he's had 2 or more field goal attempts. I know he missed an extra point last week. I think he gets back on track. And just the fact that it's in Denver, you barely have to cross midfield at Mile High before considering an attempt. So for him to have 2, I think that's I think he can get this. A good shot he gets this before halftime. And that's the other thing. If they have the ball right before halftime, that's... You know, no drive is undoable at that point, right? Because, like I said, you only have to pass the midfield stripe. McManus over 1.5 field goals, only minus 113. I'm going to lose a lot of money on that. Brother Bry, what do you got?
I will say I do love that, Sal. It's funny. I was looking at that, too, before you even sent it out, because that was one of my bigger bets on Sunday in the Raiders game. I took Carlson over 1.5 at like even odds. I thought those are fantastic bets. I'm going to go with Alec Pierce over 2.5 receptions. It was 145. Now I'm seeing it like minus 160.
Is it that high?
It's jumping up.
This is a Harry
But I'm
move.
Going with this. Yeah, the rookie Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati. He's been probably one of the few bright spots for this team. In the last 2 games, he's averaging 70 yards receiving. And he has 3.5 catches per game. You know, the Denver secondary, I do think, is going to make things difficult for the Colts, but I still don't think they're going to necessarily put a huge emphasis on stopping Pierce. You know, he's a big kid. He could, I think he's going to make a couple plays over the middle, maybe some short catches. So I'm going to go with the receptions. I know the yards have been ticking up over the last day or two, but I'm going to go with the over 2.5 receptions.
All right. Parley Kid, speaking of having something circled, I know. Is this your extra points pick? You guys get picks every day.
It's close, to my extra points pick. It's related to my extra points pick.
You had Hines over receptions. On extra points, and now I like that one a lot. And this one's pretty good, too. What do you got?
Yeah, so I have Hines over 3.5 receptions on EP on the site, going for 8 in a row here, Sal. 7 in a row. Very comfortably, too, like, for the most part, with all my picks.
By the way, if you're 2-0, you start hearing about Harry's picks if he picks 2-0.
Yeah,
this is
I wait
until
I'm like 7-0, and even then, Sal. Look,
I'm 5-2 in my last 7, so whatever.
The thing is, right, Sal. So, but what goes up, what must come down. So, you know, eventually, I'm going to lose like 7 in a row here. Just catch me while I'm hot.
Yeah,
fade me, whatever you want to do. So, I have Hines over 3.5 catches on my EP. Right now, I'm going to give you a 27.5 yards for Hines in this game. So I really like this pick.
Yeah.
Receiving, receiving. It does concern me that he's gone from 50 to 37 to 23 to 3 yards receiving in 4 games. His receiving production has gone down. But look, there was in 2020, there was one game where Jonathan Taylor did not play. Hines got targeted 10 times in that game. Out of the backfield, had like 6 receptions. You know, he started off the year with 6 anyway. Ryan's going to have to check down, I think, tonight. Hines is going to be the guy. I understand that they've picked up Lindsay, and he might get a couple carries here or there. But I think they're rolling with Hines tonight. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield. I'd be shocked here, Sal, if we don't see him get over 27.5 yards receiving tonight. All I'd be very, very surprised.
All right. We have a lot of confidence in our props. Good. It makes up for what we do with first touchdown. We'll get to that in a minute. Harry, I did this Monday night. I went with the inferior quarterback to throw an interception. Seems easy enough. And it didn't happen with Garoppolo. And now you like Matt Ryan to throw a pick.
Yeah. At minus 123, Ryan, new team with the Colts. He struggled so far in Indianapolis. 5 picks. Four games. And last 5 games, he's had 5 picks.
Oh my
in
God.
4 games. My bad. He's had 6 picks in his last 6 games played. Denver's, like Brian mentioned, secondary, very good for Denver. I'm going to pick either like Ronald Darby or Patrick Surtain to get a pick on Ryan. So that's what I like. I'll definitely go in over 0.5 a pick.
Interesting. Very specific interceptor there. All right. So there we go. We're very confident with our props. Whatever you do it on Caesars. I want to talk a little about Caesars right now. All right. Listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247 Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, let's take a quick break and then our award-winning first touchdown picks for the Thursday night game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, I'm going to get us started, and it's going to be similar reasoning to what the Parlay Kid gave us for Hines. Lots of checkdowns, lots of this and that. You know, it's going to have to improvise. Matt Ryan, Mo Alie-Cox, 16-1. You know, we like the tight ends in this spot. He had two touchdowns last week in a losing effort. 6 of 6 targets for 85 yards. You know, he's been uncomfortable for sure, Matt Ryan, but he found like a reliable red zone guy. May rely on him more. Without JT, the security blanket, 16-1 just seems too high for a guy who's scored already in a struggling offense. I feel like that's a number for someone who hasn't scored. Mo Alie-Cox, if the Colts get down early, to score first, 16-1. Brother Bri, what do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to take Hines at +575. I thought I told Harry to stay with the running backs. I guess he's not going running back.
He's not doing it.
Again, but I do think for Hines, this is his time to shine, right? He's been solid in his career for the Colts. If you look at his numbers over his career in these like 4 years, he has 290 carries and 9 touchdowns. So that's basically like one season, right? 290 carries. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, it sets him up to have a pretty solid game here. And like Parley Kid was saying earlier, he's a great weapon to have out of the backfield. So there's a couple of ways for him to score in this one. And looking back, I think the Colts are going to watch that Raiders game, right? And how well the Raiders did rushing the ball. So if the Raiders can run the ball well in the Broncos, the Colts should have an easier time, I would think. So I think Hines has a solid game tonight. So I'm going to take him at +575.
I'm looking at the first touchdown scorer odds. I should have mentioned.
I'm pissed off.
Well, it's Gordon 4-1, Hines +575, Pittman 6-1. These guys are fine players, but as far as name recognition, are we going to have a less popular three to top the board than Gordon, Hines, and Pittman?
Definitely not.
What do you like, Brett? There.
Well, here's my problem. I mean, this is crazy. Russell Wilson last night, I get him in at 22-1.
Mm-hmm.
He's 18-1 now. How did he drop? How does that happen?
Wow. Because everyone's looking at this board and be like, I don't recognize seven of the first. Mike Boone.
I guess so. I mean, that just seems like it's just such a drop.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, when we put up the graphic tonight, I'm taking Russell Wilson at 18-1. He's actually taken off and running a little bit more the last few games, 10 carries in the last two, scored against the Raiders last week. You know, he's going to be a threat, bootleg pass, quarterback sneak around the goal line.
Yeah.
I do like, you know, we got to make up some ground here, Sal. I'm taking Russell Wilson at 18-1.
We do. All right. Your mind went down too. Cox is now 15-1. All right. Bri, you gave us your no. Oh, you gave us
no,
Hines,
I gave
right?
It. I gave it. Yeah, so yeah. All Harry.
All right, Harry Hamler, do it.
I'm going to take KJ Hamler at 23-1. Why? I don't love it. Definitely, I don't love anything about this game. But I've hit a couple like 3-1 shots for us already. We need a shot in the arm. We need a big one. We need one that's what's it right now? Last time I checked, last night it was 23-1. What's he currently?
23-1 still.
I'm looking at it just as ha-ha-ha. It doesn't have a number. Yeah, 23-1. Yeah.
Two of his three career touchdowns have been from 37 yards or longer. I think that maybe Wilson shows something on one of these primetime games where it's exciting, and that's the guy to go to. KJ Hamler, 23-1. He's got one big play already this year, 55-yarder. Let's have a big play tonight, Hamler at 23, and then we get rolling with his first touchdown thing.
Yeah, I'm looking for no touchdown. I don't think Caesars has it here. There was a game last year that was a Thursday nighter that was close to having a no touchdown. It was exciting for a minute. But anyway, they don't have that up. Get that up. All right. What are we doing? We got everybody. That's the first. Let's just hit one, guys. Come on. I don't know that there's much more we could do at this point. Yeah, we got some big ones. We'll take Hines. I don't even care. Major League Baseball, congrats to Jeff McNeil, batting title, 326, and to Pete Alonso, Major League Baseball leader with 131 RBIs. I think he tied. I'm not sure who he tied with, but anyway. So the judge stuff is over. I lost my bet. You guys are the big winners, 62. That Jesus Tinoco, the Ranger starter, like grooved an 88 mile per hour slider right over the plate, Parlick. It was disgusting. You know, I'm not saying I would have hit that out of the park, but definitely a one hopper to the wall. I would have hit, I would have gotten a hold of it. But the guy who caught the judge ball, he left with it. He is married to a bachelorette. It's not someone you would, not a hard luck story that, you feel good for necessarily, but, he might get close to $3 million. I don't know how much he gives to Noco. I don't know what they arranged ahead of time, but the guy who went flying, the guy who went flying, I think that's a good move, Bri. Someone I asked thought, if out of the four it. Of us, you would be able to do it most easily, I think. I think that was a smart move in terms of risk versus reward, right? Maybe you sprain your ACL or something, but 10 or 20% chance that ball falls into the galley there and you can collect it, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think he had the right, you know, it shows you that he had this planned, right? At least I think he had it planned, but, and he didn't do it last second, but that he knew, all right, if it comes anywhere in this area and it's not right by me, I'm going to try jumping down. Hopefully this guy drops the ball. I mean, he looks like the way it happened, he looks like an idiot the way he did it because he wasn't even close. I mean, I do think it would have been funny if the guy dropped the ball and it ricocheted to the seat the guy was sitting in. And then that would have been funny. But it was a smart move on his part.
It was definitely it was definitely a smaller drop than if you were gonna like the ball in Toronto. The Toronto drop, if you decide to jump from that, you're really risking serious injury.
But here's my thing is, I don't know, because you know when you sit in the ballpark, like,
oh, it's illegal.
Would they have just taken the ball from him?
Because they would have a better case terms to take
of
that ball,
because of the terms of conditions of the ticket.
Wow.
Like, I don't know if you could do that. Like, I couldn't like hop onto the field and grab the ball.
Well,
I'm leaving my seat and going to an area that's not designated for fans, it might have been off and naught.
Well,
it might
that's have been a off good point. Naught. I don't know for sure. That was not a common walking area, probably. Yes, you're right. If you jump into the bullpen, for sure, you don't have access to that ball.
Well, that happened with the Pujols home run, right? He hit one of them on the grass, and the guy sprinted onto the grass in that center field area, right?
Right.
And he got the ball. I don't think they took it away from him. I don't think. But
interesting. They should make a statement, because you're right, Parlay Kid. What if in the, you know, there's a walk-off hit in the bottom of the ninth that's down the left field line and the guy jumps out of his seat because now it's in foul territory? Does he get that ball if it wins the World Series? I don't know.
No way.
That's a good point.
I don't think he would.
Anyway, this guy's going to get $3 million. So all worth it.
So I was close when I said I'd won 1% of a judge's contract, which I thought could be worth about $4 million for me. So I was pretty close. That's what I said.
Pretty good.
I heard JJ, by the way, JJ terrorized me and Simmons over there on SNY about our thoughts.
Well deserved.
Well, you know what? He did that when we got on the Dolphins case too. And then like 3 hours later, Tua was out for the year. So you better watch it. You just better be careful. I would say, what was he saying? Yeah, I give Judge a discount was his thing, but you still want a couple million, don't you? If you're being offered $2 million, first of all, the guy's not a Yankee fan, right? So there's no allegiance there, but.
Oh, as a Yankee fan,
maybe give him a little.
You're asking for like $5 million right now. So that's what you're asking for.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. So charge him more, you're saying. All right. That's the way to do it. Did you have, Eddie Spaghetti won that, right? He had 62. I don't think he's on with us right now, but is that what it was, Babyface? Spaghetti had 62 and Mikey Meatballs overshot it with 64. I was way under. Yeah, Eddie, 62. All right, good. Wherever you are, Eddie, you get nothing. But you picked it right, 62. Let's take a second break and then we'll talk about these baseball series.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so we got four series starting on Friday. Mets, Padres, Phillies, Cardinals, Rays, Guardians, and Seattle Mariners and Toronto Blue Jays. I said we each pick a series. I have to take the Mets series, and it's minus 170, plus 150. I have to take the Mets, and there's a homer pick for sure because the Padres took 4-6 from us in the regular season. The Mets had one run on six hits in 14 innings and two losses against Darvish, who's going to be the game one starter. They don't hit Snell. It's just not a great matchup. This is the one I was dreading. Marte's not coming back, but I think the Mets can and will win. I think it's high. I think it's going three games. So if you could bet it to go three games, do that. But at minus 170, it's hefty. But the bats came alive this week, albeit against Washington. Look, they're a 101-win team, Parley Kid. When it clicks, it's good, right? And you know who's not good? Josh Hader. He's done okay in the last, like, 11 or so innings. But 7.31 ERA since the trade. Sunday night, Lindor doubles off a Hader. The Mets advance. And then Tuesday night, me and the boys and Spaghetti and Meatballs and baby, whoever wants to come, we venture off to Chavez Ravine and battle the Dodgers. Mets win in three. What do you think of that? I'm confident. It's too high, but I'm confident.
It's about time you're confident. I like it. So I like the confidence in the Mets. I love what you're showing here. It's fantastic.
I think we win a lot of the matchups, right? On the field, right? We win first base, second. If McNeil plays second, we're going to win shortstop battle.
What a week this is coming up for you, Sal, possibly. With you got the Mets playoffs, Cowboys in L.A., the Mets possibly coming out to L.A.
Yeah.
This could be one of the greatest sports weeks of your life.
Well, there, I'm not going. I'm not going to that Cowboys game. I feel I'm cutting my losses. We beat the Giants. I was there for that. If I go Cowboys at Rams and Mets at Dodgers, I'm getting way ahead of my skis here with this Mets at Dodgers thing. I'm not seeing a win there. I just know I'm not. So I'm staying away. We'll get to the picks later for the Cowboys Rams. I do like them plus the points. But Brother Bry, Phillies Cards. This is a good matchup. It's so funny with baseball. The home teams, they get every game home. Three games potentially, Cardinals home. They won 50 games at home this year. They're only minus 140 against the Phillies. You like the Phillies plus 120. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm taking the Phillies. I will say these National League series are better than the American League. I'd much rather watch these ones. Yeah. But I just cannot take a big favorite in these MLB series. Like maybe if all the home teams win, I'll rethink this strategy next year. But I think they're all really close series. I know the Phillies did not play well in September, but at least they kind of righted the ship in the last maybe week or two. Phillies won this series 4-3 during the season. Wheeler, the thing was, Wheeler dominated them twice. I think they won 2-0 and 4-0 in two of Wheeler's starts.
14 scoreless.
I think they have the advantage and the starting pitching. I think their lineup, the stats are like almost identical between these two teams, but I kind of like the Phillies' overall lineup a little bit better. The Phillies' bullpen will be their problem. But I just like Phillies plus 120 to me, I thought is better value, though, in the series.
Yeah. Is there Schwarber Pujols home run derby revenge here? Remember, that was the first round matchup. I don't know if it is.
True.
I think you're right. The knock on the Phillies is they were 16-3 against the Nationals and 70-73 against everybody else. Yeah. But They did turn it around once Girardi was let go. He got Rob Thompson up there. It's a weird thing because Harper batted 226, like three home runs in the last 150 plate. You wouldn't expect this team to be so good, but you're right. It's Wheeler and it's Nola, and they're as good a 1-2 as you're going to see. If this is a 3 out of 5, I might take the Cardinals, but I'm with you.
Yep.
With the Phillies plus 120. All right, Parlay Kid. Cleveland minus 125 over Tampa plus 105. Cleveland gets all three. Battle of the Shanes in game one. Bieber against McClanahan. Oh, Damashek. Battle of the Shanes. Well, he just loves it that the Shanes are going against each other. He doesn't think that's happened before. I had to think about this for a while. You're going Cleveland. I'm going Cleveland also.
Yeah. Well, look, again, you're getting a home team here. It's got three home games at minus 125. Mm-hmm. Cleveland is 24-6 over their last 30 games, Sal. They've been a great team here down the stretch.
Right.
Tampa is 4-12 in their last 16. They've really struggled down the stretch. So I'm going to take the hotter team. I'm going to take the hotter pitchers. Bieber, McKenzie, Quantrill have been unbelievable. Combined in their last 30 starts overall, combined, only once have they given up more than 3 runs in any of those starts between the three of these pitchers. So they've been absolutely terrific. Meanwhile, like McClanahan, in his last 14 innings, has given up 11 runs in his last 3 starts. Has not been great. I think Cleveland's rolling. They got a lot of good, youngest team in baseball, but they got a lot of momentum building here for this team. I know it's a young team, and sometimes you might not like the young team, but they're a more talented team than this Tampa team as well. Okay, so, and they're just feeling it. There's a lot of confidence growing amongst that group. Let's roll with the Guardians at minus 125 to win this series.
I'm with you. The Guardians took 4-6 against Tampa this year. The Rays are just such a weird team, right? The third best ERA in baseball. It's always kind of like that. You look at their relievers. Yeah. They don't have, nobody had double digit saves. They just throw guys in and it all seems to work.
I know. Well, look, they
never get
with
guys with big home runs. They never get guys with big batting averages.
Yeah. Right. Arizona's 20 homers, 89 RBIs. Yeah, they're all around there. Yeah.
They play an interesting style of baseball. And look, their number 2 starter, we don't know, Glasnow, has only pitched 2 games this year. He's pitched 6 innings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was good in those 6 innings, but that's what they're rolling with. I could not put my faith in that team.
And like you said, they're ice cold, Tampa. Like, right? Some of these games don't matter.
Lost 5 in a row.
5 straight losses. Yeah.
4 wins in their last 16 games. Have not played well.
And they lost, they had 8 series since September 9th. Does this sound right? They went 1-6-1 in those series.
That's about right. Yeah, that sounds right.
It's the experienced team versus the hot team at home. And I'm taking the hot team at home, too. I think that's a good one. That's a fun one to root for. Cleveland, minus 125. All right, Harry, Mariners and Blue Jays. Blue Jays a hefty favorite at home, minus 160. Mariners plus 140. You're going with the M's, huh?
Sure, yeah. Robbie Ray goes back to Toronto. That'll be a fun watch. Mariners, fourth best road record in the American League. And this may come into play. Led the majors, the Seattle Mariners, Darren, led the majors in one-run victories with 34 this season. Just happens to be that they have beaten Toronto 5 straight times. Pitching-wise, Luis Castillo's going first. And then you also have, obviously, I mentioned Ray and Marcos Gonzalez. Those guys against Toronto this year, 19 combined innings, just 3 earned runs total. And on the offensive side, I think Suarez is going to play the big role for the Mariners. Underrated player, 8 of 24 this year against Toronto with 3 home runs. He's hit 31 home runs or more in 4 of his last 5 seasons. I'm going to take the Mariners at plus 140. I think this line is actually a little too high, too. I don't think it should have been. Toronto shouldn't be this high of a favorite. I'm going to take the Mariners at the plus 140.
I think that's a significant home field advantage. I do. I don't know why. I think we're going to see the fans going nuts there, and you're going to see I'm not impressed with the Mariners lineup, really. They have to rely completely on their pitching in this series against the Blue Jays, who had 200 home runs.
France is pretty good, and Haniger didn't have for most of the season, too. Yeah. He's been back, too. I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to beat Manoa, who was it's like a 0.88 ERA in September. I mean, he's been great. you know, I don't know. Mariners were 26th in the league at 230. They hit 230. Jays in three is what I'm going to say. I think this goes to Sunday as well. Maybe a little high, but I do like the Blue Jays to advance. Hey, I'm looking now. Well, first of all, my futures came in, a lot of them officially. How close were they on Trout, huh? Trout hits a dinger to get to 40. His over-under was 40 and a half. So
crazy.
I survived that.
Wow.
I survived the Padres under 89 and a half wins. Don't tell Hench, he had 88 and a half. He's going to be upset. I didn't even realize.
We're nice job on not hedging yesterday, Sal. Nice job.
I didn't hedge. Yeah,
really, how it worked out, Sal? That's so
yeah,
good.
It really did. So yeah, good. Yeah. But anyway, I'm looking. Caesars has you can bet home run leaders and strikeout leaders for the playoffs.
Ooh,
it's really interesting because obviously, like Judge is 6-1 favored for home runs. Cole is 3-1 favored for strikeouts. Obviously, someone's going to have a week worth of game. You know,
interesting, right? Yeah,
so like if you like Nola to advance, he's going to have seven more strikeouts than Cole, right? Going in. And same with like DeGrom or Yarvish or whoever. There's ways to do that. Who's your pick, Harry? Go one of those Seahawks, those Mariners.
Yeah. I mean, I like Suarez.
All right. Wait, let me see.
Suarez a lot.
I got to look at these home run leaders.
Underrated season, Darren.
I'd be willing to roll some dice on Stanton or somebody like that to get hot.
That was like in the playoffs. He got really hot, right?
Suarez 28-1, Stanton 12-1. There's some fun ones. Goldschmidt 16-1, right? These are big players. Vlad 25 gets hot. Juan Soto 30. Stay down there, Juan Soto.
30-1.
Nothing out of you. Nothing out of you. All right. So there you go.
Pujols 30-1.
Is he 30?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the Mets, by the way, just curious. The Mets, I know Scherzer's going to game one. They win game one. Obviously, they're probably not pitching DeGrom in game two, right? You think?
Yes. For sure.
That would be the ultimate to have him save for game one for the Dodgers.
That's the goal. That's the goal to do that. Bassett game two, Scherzer game one, wrap it up Saturday. But I just don't think it's going to be that easy. Just don't think it is. We'll pick a World Series. We'll get our World Series picks Monday. Got a lot going on. Hockey coming up, guys. We're going to have to hit that on Tuesday. I know there's a game.
This is honestly, next week is such a great week.
It's a great one.
Sports.
Yeah.
Starting like now.
I already hit for 100. Last night I hit for 100, Darren, on the Canucks over the Oilers, baby. Already betting hockey.
Guys, I don't need hockey or basketball yet, though. Guys,
there you're right.
I need a few weeks.
Hold it off. Weeks. You're right. And I don't like that they run the play. I get it because it's a foreign whatever. But I don't like when they overlap. You have to really look closely to see what's a preseason game and what's a regular season game in hockey. Right? There's like 12 games going on. One of them counts.
Very true.
So, well, you know, it's funny that you say that, Sal. If I can get the because. When is the first official hockey game then? When is it?
See, nobody even knows. Well, there's a two-game series, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, isn't that this weekend, like early?
Friday. Mikey Meatball says Friday.
I was flipping through channels last night, mm-hmm. and I come across the Stars and the Avalanche, right? And I'm thinking, I don't know if it was a game because it was intense and like the crowd was going. Seemed like there was a great crowd. And I'm like, wait, did the season start? That's so, shame on me for even thinking the season.
Everything starts Tuesday except for the Sharks and Predators, which is in Prague. So there's an October 7th game Friday and a Saturday game October 8th. So,
yeah.
And then the 11th, Tampa Bay at the Rangers is a fun one, October 11th. Kind of starts things off. So we'll hit all the
hockey futures.
We'll do it all. I mean, we got it. Whatever they put in front of us, Brother Brian, we got to handle it, right? If we're not ready.
We got to do it. Look, October's crazy. You get some good UFC cards later on. It's great.
We weren't
crying about this in July. We would have loved to have all this. So there you go.
This is true.
And screw you, babyface, asking what Ohtani's odds are. I mean, you look at those. You look at those numbers. It's despicable that he doesn't get it. More talk. It qualifies. What was the first player since 1913 to qualify for wins for pitching and batting categories? 10 or more. He had 15 wins, right? And 34 home runs. God bless Ohtani. Stuck with that stupid.
It's a nice little season.
We're gonna be on Spotify Live. tonight for the third and fourth quarter for the Denver Colts game. We're going to be betting and betting and betting because that's what we do. And what else are we going to... You know, we didn't even mention with all these sports going on. You got the Dahmer documentary. Not the documentary, but the docuseries. Parlay Kid, my wife and I are watching. We're like, how does Darren... Darren's the one who recommended this. How are you watching this? I can't believe that you're watching this.
If I told you, I said I can't even watch it.
Oh,
I
mean, you're not watching it.
I said, look, you might like really like it. But for me...
I don't really like it, but I have to finish.
No, that's what I said. No, that's what I was saying. I'm like, you know, everybody's watching it, but for me, it's very hard to watch.
Did you get through it, or you didn't?
I have not finished it.
What number are you up to?
Like seven.
Oh man, it's so brutal. I'm through four, and I'm like, I have six left.
It's real. That's what I mean. It's brutal. It's like I can't. It's very hard for me to watch. And usually once I start something, I finish it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to even finish this, to be honest with you, because I know how it all ends up anyway. So,
I hope they catch the guy. No, Brian, are you watching?
I haven't watched it.
I'm about to start watching.
I've not watched it yet. I know. Parlay Kid can't even see a real drop of blood. I'm surprised he can make it through.
It's my own blood. It's my own blood.
And guaranteed Eddie would say this is way too scary for him. So he definitely would not be watching this. It's disgusting.
The scary is the possibility that these things really happen. That's the scary part, for sure.
I'm torn on whether we ever needed to see this. So if I can give you a recommendation, yeah,
The Patient with Steve Carell. That's really good.
Does Carell, he doesn't drink blood? Does he eat like organs and stuff?
No, but there's obviously like a serial killer involved in it.
Oh, interesting.
It's very good. It's a little heavy itself, but not like that.
You know,
I'd
like to see a study done on how what this is doing to us. These crime dramas and documentaries are so popular now, and I'm imagining everybody's watching. It's the last thing they see before they go to bed. It has to affect our sleep. It has to affect our outlook on life. It has to affect a lot of things. I'd love to see what goes on. Harry, you don't understand between a drama and a documentary. You don't know the difference.
That's true.
Anything like podcasts and stuff like that, it's all like horrific crimes. It's got to be crushing us, right? Emotionally, like intellectually. I don't know. Someone do any kind of study on what I just said.
There's got to be.
Come up with.
But isn't it like it's kind of a phenomenon, right? So like, it's weird because
this is the last 10 years or so, right? Like the podcasts and everything.
Probably these are actually more geared towards, and I could be wrong. So you're in the entertainment business. You know this.
Barely.
It's actually the women who really like this stuff. They love these serial killer things.
They do.
They can't get enough of it.
Right. It scares me. They want ideas.
I mean, I gotta go from watching, you know, The Beverly Hills Housewives to Dahmer. It's like, what's going on? This is ridiculous.
You guys suck. Just to change for a second, you guys have all seen, I take it, you're all caught up on Cobra Kai, right?
I did. I finished it.
Brian, have you seen it, right?
I saw through season three. My daughters have seen every season like 20 times, and they always have it on. And I'm like, it's always on the background. I'm like, this show is so bad. Besides Johnny, this show is so bad.
Darren, is it? My opinion is it's so bad. It is so bad that it's actually kind of good.
It's supposed to have that 80s cheese to it.
I can't believe you're actually streaming a show.
Yeah, this is incredible. This is incredible. Like, I thought you were only able to get the basic cable packages, and you're streaming TV. Netflix.
They're using Big Mike's login.
Yes, they are.
The login is 1-800.
Johnny Lawrence is great. Johnny Lawrence, I love that. His character is fantastic. The rest of it is so bad that it's good.
Like fighting, Darren. The fighting of kids. It's nonstop.
We go back and forth with what's who we're actually rooting for. This, like, if they, I don't want to ruin it, but if they killed Johnny Lawrence at the end, I think that'd be the only thing I'd be upset about. Right?
Yes, I totally agree.
Upset about? Totally agree.
We should really just start another podcast and talk about these shows. I think it's
Cobra
totally
Kai
fun.
Recap. Yeah. Yep. All right. So there you go. I don't know what we accomplished there, telling people, the Dahmer thing's going to be tough to get through. And then I have to go right to Cobra Kai and then the Steve Carell show.
Yeah. The Carell one, I think I like it. I like it.
a lot. All right. Well, like I said, check out all our episodes. It was a fun Megan Fun of Sports yesterday. -3 with Kevin Hench and Dave Damashek. Lemon Pepper Parlay, Martin Weiss and Will Blackman. Spaghetti and Jen Piacente go over all your fantasy needs on Waiver Wired. Covered in Glory is our soccer podcast. What did I miss? Babyface, what are you watching before we get off?
Oh, well, I mean, it sounds like this Dahmer show is a tough watch, but anything will be better than the Steelers this season. So I could probably.
That's true.
Yeah. Has anybody watched the Nolan Ryan thing yet? I heard that's pretty good.
Who did he kill? I didn't see that.
There's something with Nolan Ryan on. Is it Netflix? Really? I'm not sure what it's on.
I need a break.
Who brought that up?
Something with Nolan Ryan. We have no time for this. Now with hockey and everything, no time. All right.
No, we really don't.
Another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti and Meatballs, Babyface Joel Solomon, and Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.